time to get our view from the north. You can find his work for Comcast Sportsnet online. Visit CSNNW.com. He's talking ball, Comcast Channel 737 in high def on my Xfinity system. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Check out his Facebook page. He also posts his interviews and stories. Aaron Fentress, CSN. We welcome in our friend Aaron Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you?
I'm annoyed. There's nothing worse than tweeting out an article with a link and then the link doesn't work.
Yeah, I saw you had a bad URL. I had to go back onto the site itself, so I was actually going to get to you about that. It's pretty funny.
I just fixed it.
I was going to say, that's your opening? That's how you're going to start this thing? with a bum URL? Come on. All right, so I know you're rooting for Memphis last night to defend the honor of your Bulls. But, you know, the Grizz are decimated. The Warriors had history on the line. So, going in, any hope of a Memphis win? And let's tap into Fentress the analyst. 73 is a wow, but as you well know, this conversation now gets put on hold.
I didn't even bother watching. Not one. I maybe watched 30 seconds. Memphis had their chance to pull off the win the other night at home. They had a chance to win that game.
Yep, the tap-in.
They blew it. They blew it for me.
Yeah, it was a great tap-in. I thought the refs got it right, but you're right. That was really the chance for that 72 to stand.
Yeah, there was no way. I mean, without, you know, Gasol and Conley still out, right?
For good.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, without those two, there was no way in heck they were going to win that game last night. So once Golden State got past San Antonio, I pretty much resigned myself to the fact that they were going to break the record. So that's fine. They can have the regular season record because now, being the hater that I am, I'm shifting my focus to the overall season, counting the playoff record, which the Bulls, you know, they went 87-13. They lost three playoff games, two in the finals, one leading up to the finals. So now my hope is that the Spurs can drop five playoff games, and then I can say, yeah, but you know, even though the Warriors got the best regular season record, the best overall regular season slash playoff performance still belongs to my beloved 95-96 Bulls.
All right. I see you're going deep with the analysis here.
I like it.
Now, one of the themes on this show, because obviously even though a majority of the fans are Blazer fans, there's a connection to the Bay Area. And with Curry and Klay Thompson, you know, Steve Kerr is from the Bulls. It just seems like they're a really easy group to kind of like. And I know you hold some antagonism towards them, but if you block out that Bull fandom, I mean, do you find this Warrior team still highly entertaining and you could see the attraction?
Nah, I pretty much hate him. Nah, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, they're fun to watch. I mean, they're, you know, the way they share the ball, the way they flow offensively. You know, the shooting prowess that they have, which is just ridiculous. Some of the stuff Curry does is just stupid. The guy takes bad shots. But for him, they're not bad shots. For anyone else, they're bad shots. For him, they're good shots. And they're amazing to watch. And the way they spread you out and to the point where you have to defend the perimeter, and then someone gets behind the three-point line or in front of the three-point line and it ends up being 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 basketball inside the arc because you have to guard the three, and the way they play together is just phenomenal. I mean, yeah, they're definitely fun to watch. There's no doubt about it. I don't buy at all that the Bulls would sweep them. I think that's ridiculous. I think their ability to shoot the three would – I mean, Curry would make more threes per game than the Bulls would even, you know, attempt.
Of it.
Yeah, they'd probably attempt as many as he would make, but they probably would make combine as many as he would make. So, you know, that whole effective three-point – or effective field goal percentage would factor in. But I still think, you know, the Bulls' perimeter defense would give them more trouble than anyone in the NBA can currently today. And, you know, the way the game is, you can't touch anybody. Michael Jordan would just run amok. He would do to them what he did to the Suns in the 93 finals when he averaged, I think, 40-something.
Yep, 41 or 42 a game.
Yeah, and had a couple 50-point nights. I mean, he would be just unstoppable for them. And, of course, you know, who's going to deal with Pippen, and Robin would be harassing what's-his-face on Draymond Green. And, you know, I still think the Bulls win the series. I just don't think it'll be a sweep.
All right. Then there was that other game last night, Kobe, the who's who in the crowd. We were joking. Nobody was there to see Brian as a distributor, the birthplace of Showtime. So when you tuned in, what were you expecting to see? And then there was that juncture. He missed the layup, hit the side of the backboard. Any way to figure it ended like that?
You know, I just kept hoping the whole time that, you know, it wouldn't end with just a flurry of just bricks. Like, when people were bringing in some mortar and start building like a little hut back there with all these bricks he was laying all over the place. Because you knew he was just going to be jacking it up.
I mean,
he's been doing it his whole career. How's he not going to do it his last night? I mean, you're talking about a guy with no conscience who now has no tomorrow. So they're going up, and it doesn't matter who's wide open. I was surprised a couple of times he did pass the ball when someone was wide open. I'm like, whoa, what's Kobe's problem? But, you know, when they were losing, I was thinking, okay, he's going to have a big night, but they're going to lose. You know, okay, well, whatever. At least he ended on a good night. And then they started rallying, and then the fact that they won, the whole time I'm literally thinking, I think I tweeted out, he's trying to go out like Jeter.
Yep.
You know, he's trying to go out with a meaningless loss or meaningless win, but in a situation where he lifted his team to victory in his final game. I thought it was a great way to go out. And, you know, the numbers are obnoxious, 50 shots, you know, but if you're ever going to take 50 shots, that's the time to do it. Your last game ever after 20 years, he deserves it. He put in 20 years in the NBA, and he's one of the greatest two guards ever, 5 NBA titles, an MVP. I mean, heck, if you're going to go out, that's the way to go out, dropping 60.
Yeah, and third all-time in scoring is pretty high, too.
Yeah, behind Carl and Kareem. Yeah, phenomenal.
Talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. And, you know, we've talked about this Blazer team. They end up a 5 seed with just 44 wins. I did the research. With 44 wins the last 15 years, they missed the playoffs 9 times. But like you've said, they far exceeded any expectations. But they faced the Clippers. They split a couple games in November. They had that goofy situation where McCollum couldn't play. They lost on the Redick shot. Safe to say, best possible matchup for them, of considering what was available, unless they could have played Memphis. And what shot do you give them to advance here?
You know, I'm still stunned that they're in the playoffs. I literally am having trouble wrapping my mind around it. I look at their roster, I'm like, there's no way this is a playoff team. They've done an amazing job playing together, and Stoss did an amazing job, and Lillard being a leader.
Yeah.
And, you know, McCollum's raising his game. I mean, it's just amazing what they've pulled off. Clearly on paper, the Clippers are the better team, but I would not put it past Portland to go out there and trap the Clippers in some dysfunctional situations, because we all know the Clippers can go through their moments where Blake Griffin is a mess, or DeAndre Jordan is bricking free throws all over the place. Next thing you know, you can steal games from them. We've seen it in the past. So I think the Blazers have an outside chance, but I'm going to pick the Clippers because I think the Clippers are flat out the better team, and I can't believe the Blazers are even in the playoffs. The Blazers could win. The Blazers could upset the Warriors, win the championship over Cleveland. I would still be sitting there going, this is a mediocre basketball game.
Nice. Well, at least you're not willing to give in. I love that. All right, so we wake up today, and the NFL takes over. This big trade, Titans get the top. They trade their pick. They're 4th and 6th. And I guess the L.A. Rams are involved on the number 15. Second rounders, third rounders next year. But first of all, for the people who are trying to compare it to Herschel Walker, it's like, relax. That created a dynasty. I know this was kind of a wow, and when you texted back to me, you said crazy. What do you make of this?
Well, so everyone thinks they're after Wentz or Goff, or is it just Wentz?
Both, I guess.
Either one of them. So
The word is Wentz, but it's like, really? North Dakota State?
Yeah.
Over a guy from the Pac-12?
Right. So I told my philosophy last year when I thought that Chip Kelly should have just unloaded anything and everything to try and get Mariota. If you believe the quarterback available is the guy, he is a legitimate Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, MVP kind of guy who's going to lift your team like a Rodgers, Manning, that kind of player, then of course you give up your entire draft for that guy. I mean, why would you not? Half your draft picks are going to be bust. You might get a couple good players and maybe one star, but none of that equals having a legitimate Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. I mean, it just doesn't. And I thought Kelly should have gone all in on Marcus. He didn't. Now, these guys, the Rams, are going all in on whoever they're going to pick, but I don't see – it doesn't seem like the guy at number one is going to be the Manning caliber or an Andrew Luck kind of can't-miss kind of guy, or even Cam Newton. So either they think something's going on that no one else really sees, or they're going to blow it, or they're going to get, you know, a good quarterback but not worth all those picks. I tend to believe that the pick thing is a bit overrated because everyone gets all geeked up about the draft and picks. But, man, when you go back and look at any draft, there's so many guys you've never heard of. I mean, most of your draft picks are not going to turn out to be more than what you could have gotten on the free agent market, you know, at a low price at some point to fill in roster spots, which is what teams do anyway. So, on one hand, I feel like the draft picks are a bit overrated. On the other hand, they give up a boatload for an unsure thing at quarterback. And if they miss on this, it totally sets you back because you gave up all those picks and you don't have the quarterback.
Right.
So, you know, so it's a gamble, but maybe they know something no one else knows. Maybe they've just decided, you know, that one of these guys is it. He's the it guy, and they're going to go for it. And if that's the case, then I'm all with it because I firmly believe that if you think the guy is all that and a bag of chips, you go for it.
You know, I tell you what, you said something that triggers. I always say if you're in an airport or if you're a passenger in a traffic jam and you want to have the best time, pick a player you really like. Go to his draft and see what happened within five high and five low of him, and you'd be astonished how many guys you forgot about or how many mistakes were made.
Exactly, and here's another. I'll take it a step further. A lot of times, people will look at a draft pick and say, "Yeah, they really blew it with that draft pick." Then I always say, "Go back and look at who they could have had." Yep. And tell me, did they really blow it? Or was there really someone else better within 10 or 15? Or you got to go all the way back 20 picks to find someone they could have had better? Because that happens a lot, too. Because sometimes you might take something in the NBA draft, you might take someone seventh, you're like, oh, seventh pick, they really blew that. And you go back and look, and 8 through 19 weren't any good either.
Right.
So no. Then are you can't really blame them. Like, it's like they took who they took.
No,
it is what it is.
The mere amount of time I've spent on baseball, football, and basketball reference.com, I could have had doctorate in some field.
Well, and you follow, like, okay, I follow drafts, you know, every year with the Bears. I'm really into the draft, who they're going to pick. And I've never in my life seen any two back-to-back Bears drafts that I would not trade both those drafts, all 14 picks, for an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning, anytime. I mean, I've been following the draft very closely since 86. There's not any two drafts in the history of the Bears that I wouldn't trade every pick for a marquee quarterback.
Clearly selling Caleb Haney short once again.
Caleb Haney. You can bring up that train wreck.
I know. Let's get to
I had fantasies of him being the next Romo, man. He was I was like, he's a 1AA guy. He's understrong. He's athletic. He's got good arm. He could be the next Tony Romo.
Or not.
No. Or no.
All right, let's get to some Oregon sports. They land, basketball-wise, second straight JUCO Player of the Year. We know what they just accomplished. The status of a couple guys going pro may be up in the air. So is it unreasonable to think that this is kind of the most anticipation-filled offseason maybe in the history of the program?
I think so. I think on paper, if everyone comes back, they have a team that for the first time in program history is one you'd say, for sure, that is a Final Four team. If they don't make it, it's going to be a disappointment. However, it's been reported today, ESPN reported, that Dylan Brooks and Boucher are testing the NBA waters. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Now they declared and they can test it and then come back though. I think they're going to end up coming back because I don't think what they find is going to be that favorable. And I do not believe in leaving early to be a second round pick. I don't think that makes any sense at all. Because if you think you're going to make it in the NBA, then you should believe in yourself enough to play your way into the first round, or at least improve your value, improve your stock, especially when you're a key player on a team that's going to be winning and be very visible. So I would think they're going to go through the process and then come back. Again, I don't see any of them on any draft list anywhere for this year. Like, they're not guys that are being coveted as of yet. That could change, I guess, but I think they're going to be back. So let's just say everyone comes back, and you've got the dynamic duo in the backcourt with Dorsey and Brooks / front court. Brooks is a small forward, and then you have the big man, the three big man trifecta with Bell, Big B Williams, and Boucher, who are all going to be, you know, shot blocking phenoms and great rebounders. And we could see, you know, Boucher continue to develop as a stretch five, and then this new kid, Big B Williams, has a nice short range, you know, jumper game. And if Bell comes through and develops, you know, some kind of post presence, which he says is his goal in the offseason, to give you some kind of threats, you know, down low, you're talking about one of the most complete teams in the nation. And then heaven forbid that Dylan Ennis gets to come back. Because
yep.
Now you got point, because Benson's backing him up, and then you still got Pritchard and two other 4-star recruits coming in. Now you're looking at a team that's 9 deep, you know, and you have no real weak link anywhere. Like, you're versatile. You can go small, you can go big, you got gazelles all over the place, you got power inside, you got defensive presence, you got shot blockers. I mean, it's arguably the greatest roster ever, but it's going to all get jacked up if these two guys go pro.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll take anybody wants to bet. If these guys go pro and get drafted in the first round, you guys just name the restaurant and what you're drinking, and it's on me. Because there's no way.
I agree. Boucher is too frail. I mean, I just can't see a team going for him in the first round. And Brooks just has to work on his game. He's not a good enough athlete to not have the perimeter shooting prowess of someone who can make, you know, 44% at the college three range to me be a first round pick. I think he shot 33% from three in college. You know, he needs to be better from long distance to make himself more of a viable first round pick. But, you know, who knows? You know, maybe a team will love other things about him and take him. Maybe he'll learn through the process that he could be a late first round pick and it's worth it for him to go. But for Oregon's sake, hopefully that doesn't happen, because they could have a very special team next year.
All right. One of our listeners requested I ask you in closing about Farrell Brown. I mean, it's amazing. It's only like a year and a half ago he had that leg injury where he almost lost it. I saw you posted a video of him talking after practice. I mean, where's he at? How realistic is it that he's out there playing September 3rd?
They say everyone who's been talking about it, including him, said he's going to be ready by the fall to be playing. They're still easing him back slowly. He's not, you know, full bore 100% yet, but he's practicing and he's getting his legs back and he's doing his thing, and they expect him to be ready to play next season. I mean, it was an outside shot. Some thought he could have played last year, but that seemed ridiculous, because when I saw him walking around, you know, early on in the season, he still had a slight limp. So I was like, there's no way that guy's going to play this year. But he's had the whole off season, and now he's got spring, and he's getting his, you know, feet wet out on the field again. And all indications are that he's going to play next season. Now, is he going to be ready for the opener? I mean, who knows? But it sounds like he's going to be back. Now, here's the thing, though. We don't know if he's going to be back. You know, is he still going to be the future, you know, guaranteed at least third-round pick that he was before, or is he going to be – you know, just a good, solid tight end. We don't know that yet.
No, that's good info. I think that's just what they were looking for. Hey, Aaron, fun stuff. As always, really appreciate your time. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
Sounds great, buddy. Talk to you later.
Take it easy.